Guardian Unlimited.
This is Andras Schiff introducing Beethoven's Piano Sonata in F Major, Opus 10, Number 2.
Good. On to the next piece, Opus 10, Number 2, in F Major. This is a delightful composition. Couldn't be different, more different from the previous one. It is lyrical, it is witty, it is charming, it is full of humor, full of expectations and surprises. F major, again, let's think of other pieces. This is a pastoral, a spring-like tonality. And it starts with an upbeat, with an Auftakt. Again, seven voices, very thick sonority. Piano, and this, it's like a bird song, like an echo. And then comes... We had something very vertical, now comes something very horizontal, a huge melody. Like an arsistasis, so rising and falling, eight bars together. So this is a beautiful construction. Back to the first motif, and then again, this is the crux of the matter. Which way is he going? It could go, because on the piano D sharp and E flat are enharmonic, so you could hear it ambiguously, but in this case it's definitely D sharp. And then so sounds very strange next to each other. And then without any preparation, so he's very unconventional here. C major. And comes a very beautiful singing horizontal theme. Again, in very thick chords and the accompaniment. And always this little sforzandi. Come. Always sforzandi. So we are on the dominant. Now the thing in minor. This is what should come. Again, musical humor, as Haydn told us and as he told Beethoven, is based on expectation and surprise. But this only, again, it only works in a situation where composer and performer and the audience, they share the same language. So, this is what should come. Instead, yum. This is quite incredible. Yum. And correction. It's incredible fun. And I'm glad that you laugh, because this, if nobody laughs here, then it's like all of you must have had this experience in a company when you are telling a very good joke and nobody laughs. I must tell this story. I hope it doesn't offend anybody, that in a lunatic asylum, the patients are telling jokes. So, and they are all numbered. Once somebody says number 17. Ha 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 ha. Everybody laughs. The next one says 29. Ha 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 ha. Everybody. So 218. A great laughter. And the doctor is observing this, and he gives it a try, and he says 73. Silence. And he says, "Is there no joke number 73? "So yes, there is, but you told it so badly." So. Yes. So here is it. What follows is also comical, because it's sort of out of a circus. The two hands are deliberately not together. It is again funny, because it's something very naive, and the two registers. It is like somebody who is very short and the other one is very long, or very thin and very fat. Laurel and Hardy. Yes. And it ends with these three. So tonic, dominant, tonic. Yum. And the last one is a crotchet. And after that, of course, we will repeat the exposition, but now I go into the development. Yum. Like echoing these three final notes, and in the parallel minor key. And then, like a homage to Johann Sebastian Bach, he takes this like a theme of a fugue. with a little counterpoint of triplets. And then continuing fortissimo, but always secco, dry and short. To show the difference with the C minor sonata, which had an extremely short development, this sonata has a very long development section. Now comes... something new. We have not heard this before. And it's a modulating material. I would call it like a bridge, something that connects two sections. Again, fugue. Counterpoint. Sounds familiar, no? And it's wonderful. It sounds really familiar, but it's in the wrong key. It's somebody, Beethoven, that's his joke. He pretends that he had lost his way. He doesn't know where the exit is. And so he misleads us into a false reprise, a false recapitulation. And it's very beautiful. And it's beautiful, but we are not at home. So he has to keep looking. A little more similar. Ah, yes. And this like this bird song motif, it's more reassuring that yes, you are near home now. And then comes now this is home. Etc. So then it's identical with the exposition, just in the home key. This sonata would be sunny and cheerful to the very end, were it not for its middle movement, Allegretto, which is like a dark cloud above it. It's in F minor. Again, it starts in this mysterious unison in the lower regions of the keyboard. And it's beautiful when the unison turns into a four-part texture, then we have suddenly a little bit of light, little bit of sunshine. Now, then, again, two upper voices imitating each other, which always is sforzando on the third beat. Three, one, two, three, one. It is very, it's not tragic, but it is a melancholic movement, and it's not even a slow movement, it's allegretto, and it stands there like an intermezzo. You feel the pain on this harmony, it's a sforzando, and dissonance. The trio, what the contrast of between this mysterious unison and is this very solemn, beautiful D flat major chorale. Yes. Second part of the main part. And now variation, syncopation. Repeat is never mechanical because he changes the phrasing, he makes variations, and the dynamics are different. Now comes one of the most wonderful Beethoven movements, the finale of this sonata, which is a tour de force. I don't know why some people don't like this, they have funny taste. Like this. So this is a Bachian invention, and But it's rustic, and it's like a peasant dance. It's like a fourth fugue, because there are three distinct fugal entries, but then if anybody should be worried that a fugue will come, then there are no more entries. At this point, Beethoven writes for the first time forte. And so therefore, I am sure that until here the dynamics have to be piano, but everybody starts this movement forte, just hammering it out. And then it's not very funny. So extremely short exposition. Now comes the development section. So again, listen to this key change. This very Bachian fugato-like development section, and now comes the recapitulation, but this time really fortissimo. And on each of the last beats. And it's quite irresistible, this movement. And this is one of those movements which are perpetuum mobile, continuous movement. And really, these are the movements that have to be in a strict tempo. And the have to be repeated again. This is not a question of choice, it's a must. So, that was the second sonata, and